Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Let's bow our heads as we go before the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we once more want to thank you for this opportunity and privilege you've given us to gather with our brothers and sisters around thy precious word this morning. Thank you for the desire in our hearts, Lord, to be here, to hear thy precious word, Lord, and to draw closer to thee this day. We just ask that you have your preeminence in this service, Lord. May all that's said and done be for thy glory and honor, Lord. May the songs we sing, Lord, be sung from the depths of our heart, Lord, back to thee as praise and worship. We just commit all to thy hands. We ask these things in thy precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. If you would, let's turn our big books to 135. It's a beautiful psalm, How Great Thou Art. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, and
sent him to die. I scarce can take
it. Yes, amen. Just think about it. Amen.
That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul.
Be seated if you like. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to 138. The solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide his face. I
Let's sing the little chorus, "Here's My Cup, Lord."
Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting.
This morning, fill my cup, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. You may be seated. Brother Paul, if you come up for the offering, please. That's a blessing, please.
Our Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come to you again this day, Lord Jesus. We just want to gather here together, Lord Jesus, with open hearts, Lord Jesus, to receive from you again this day,
yes,
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, we just pray, just bless our lives, Lord. May your word speak to us and
lead
us, yes. And Lord, Father, and Lord
amen.
Jesus, we just give a small portion of ours back to you again, Lord,
amen.
Lord Jesus. We just ask that it might be used for the presence of your kingdom, Lord, and for spreading the word, Lord Jesus, and may it be put in the right places, Lord Jesus.
Amen. us sing a longing for Jesus.
Longing for Jesus, I have a longing in my heart for Him, just to be near Him, to
special requests by uplifting your hands. And Brother Suttles, if you don't mind taking the request.
Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, this is kind of a grand privilege. Father, we say it often, Lord, may it not just be just words of butter, Lord, but Father, may it truly be in our heart.
Yes,
consider every opportunity we have to gather, Lord, around where your word will be.
Amen.
It truly be a privilege and an honor.
Yes, dear Lord.
Lord, something that we look forward to. Lord, we pray as your word comes forth today, may our hearts be. Feed us individually what we have need of. Lord, with the revelation that it may truly become part of us and live through us.
Yes, dear Lord.
Lord, the request on the saints' hearts, Lord, is signified by raising hands. Lord, you know what they are. Father, you know before we even know ourselves, Father. Lord, you know all things. And we pray, Father, that you would just touch and meet every need. Lord, that we would truly have a testimony we'd be able to tell.
Amen.
Your goodness, your grace, and how, Lord, you live today.
Amen.
We thank you. Bless the brothers he brings to work today.
Yes, amen.
Lord, may the remainder of the service just be pleasing in his sight.
Amen, dear Lord.
We ask this in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone have a special song? Anything you want to sing? Anything on your heart, Sister Grace?
Every ray of hope we shine, every is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe,
marvelous grace. Let's stand if you would please. Let's sing a little chorus, I Love Him, as we ask our brother to come.
I love Him. Precious to us. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful to be here once more, to come and to feel your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and to sing these hymns. And Lord, we've come today to have you speak to us the way of your word. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you would take the precious words, Lord, that we will read from the scriptures and Lord, from the quotes that you've had our prophet bring. That, Lord, it would inspire us, Lord, and go down deep into our hearts, Lord, and maybe help us along the way, Lord. Whether you know each of us here today, Lord, we've gathered and we've asked you to help us and to give us our portion. And Lord, why we don't know these things, Lord, but Father, we just rehearse what you've given us. For Lord, by the renewing of our mind, we shall be transformed, Lord. And Lord, we've truly come here today to have you speak to us. And Lord, to search our hearts and our lives, Lord, to see where we're at and make sure we're lining up 100%, Lord. And Father, that we would have that blessed assurance, Lord, that soon this earth is going to pass away and all things are going to come to an end here in this world. But Lord, may we be ready to take our heavenly journey. And Lord, may we have that blessed assurance that, Lord, no matter if it happens now or 2 days from now, Lord, or 5 years from now, Lord, I'll be ready and I'll be standing there in your image, Lord. Help us now, Lord, to bring forth those things that you've laid upon our hearts. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. My, so precious. You know, Sunday morning, it's always hope to see my pastor up here, but he's not here this morning. So I'm going to help him out as best I can. You know, we come here to feed on the word. It's not what I've got to say, but we come each time to listen to God's word and to check up by it. And as today, as we begin to read and go through these things, that's all we can ask is, Lord, help me to measure myself up with your word, Lord, and make sure that everything is 100% just the way you would have it to be in my life. But while you're standing, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus. We'll read two verses of scripture and you can be seated. Speaking Thursday night, kind of about following instructions, and you know, with the word of God, and how we start here, I think you can still see that following instructions still provides the right way. Amen. In Exodus 12th chapter, let's just read that 12th and 13th verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. If you want to keep your spot marked, I'm going to go ahead and back up and start at the first verse and just catch what was happening here one more time. And I just have a few... got some things in the token message and different things that just want to bring back to our attention. And, you know, whether we're sitting here or whether we might listen to this recording someplace else, God's word ever holds true. And each and every one of us are going to give an account for the word that we've heard and what we've done with it in this day. But let's just back up to the 12th chapter there, first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two sides of the post of the upper doorpost of the houses wherewith they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs that shall they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn of all the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And I want you to think of this time as all that was taking place there in Egypt. And how God spoke to Moses and Moses went down. And I want you to look at the instructions again of how perfect God laid it right out exactly the way that it had to be. And he didn't leave no stone unturned. He told them everything the way he wanted it done. And these people in haste, they started making preparations and preparing that lamb. And during this time, I'm assure you that they were making sure that that blood was upon the post and over the door. There was an urgency in their heart to do so, and it began to become, nothing else mattered to them at this time of their life. This was foremost in their minds. I'm sure every one of them, this is all they could think about. It was, what did he say? Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Do I have this over here? Is that where it belongs? Did I prepare it right? Have I done all these things? And how we stand here today in this last day in which we're living and we're coming down to the end of time and we're still seeing God's going to take a little bride off of this earth and all of the things that get her ready for this and all has been set forth. And here we stand today with this word laying before us. And I wonder, are we truly, do we have that assurance within our hearts that that blood is up over the door? Do we know for sure that we're right where we need to be? Have I followed every instruction that God has given me, and have I let it take hold in my life? And I would like to turn over, I'm going to go into the message, the token, and begin here. And I'm going to read quite a bit, because I just want you to catch the things Brother Branham was saying and the way he was saying it. And maybe it'll strike our hearts in a greater measure. But this is in the token, and this was preached September 1st, 1963. And I'm going to start here on page 7. Let me make sure. On the bottom of page 8, let's see here. Paragraph 49 on page 8. Now down here that we're speaking, we're starting in, and God is saying to Israel, the blood of the Lamb is a token for you. Israel's lamb slain was Jehovah's required token, and it must be the blood. God made a token and give it to Israel, and no other token will work. See, it cannot be recognized. And to the world, it's a bunch of foolishness. And I want you to think about that, how Egypt must have looked upon them Israelites down there, putting blood and smearing that lamb and putting it up on that doorpost, how that appeared to the outside world. And today, here we come in and sit underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as sisters, we don't cut our hair, and our brothers were modest, and we go through all of these things. We make sure that we look like Christians, that our actions are becoming like Christ. We don't curse and drink and swear and all these different things that the world's doing, but we've got a different goal in life. We're not out here trying to become great men of well-renown in the political world, or maybe over here trying to create a great big business that will bring me millions of dollars and stand out as, oh, look what I have accomplished. But in our hearts, there's a single goal, and that's to be just like Jesus Christ. And as the world looks upon us, as they see you go to church 3 times a week, and they look at all the things we do and the way we live in our homes, and you don't have television, and you don't have this, and you won't go there, and you won't go get this. And they look at us, and how much foolishness it begins to look in the day and age in which we live. And how it appears to them that, oh, I can't believe they're doing what they're doing. And now we had a prophet come, and it's been 40-some years, and this message has went forth, and many have heard it, and many have said in it, and many have turned and walked away from it. And now they're saying it's foolishness. But God has prepared a little people before the world was ever formed that it would not be foolishness to them. And it wouldn't matter what anyone had to say about it. Their eyes and attention was focused to exactly what God had said. As it goes on here, he says, to the world, it's a bunch of foolishness, but to God, it's the only way. The only thing that he requires is that token, and it must be there. You cannot have the token until the fare is paid. Let me drop down. And he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What a time, what a privilege to know that you pack within you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the only thing he'll recognize, nothing else. No matter how righteous they was, how good they was, how much education they had, how they dressed, the token was the only thing. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. The blood was a token that the requirement Jehovah had been met and it had been done, and the blood stood for that token, and the blood was the token, see? God said, the day you eat, let me drop down. And he's let me drop over here onto the next page, paragraph 54. And the blood stood for a token. The life was gone. The life of the animal that God had spoken should be taken was the blood, and it stood there. And the believing worshiper was identified with his sacrifice by the token. I don't wish to stay too long on these little quotations, but you could take an entire service on one of them. But I want to stop here for a moment and express that the believer had to be identified with his sacrifice. If it's just a sacrifice made somewhere out there, he had to give it, but he had to be identified with it. Frankly, he had to place his hands upon it first to identify it. First, to identify himself with the sacrifice, and then the blood was placed where he could stand under the blood, and the blood must be placed over him. And that was the token that he had been identified himself, guilty, had proven an innocent substitute, had taken his place. And just think of that, saints, how them when they went out there to kill that lamb, they cut its throat. The blood sprayed over their hands. They had bloody hands when they come in there with that blood. Began to put it up. It was stamped all over them that they had taken and done exactly what they were told to do. You could see the evidence that that blood was on the doorpost. You could see that it was shining forth and it was there. Every time he come in or went out, Brother Branham said, you could tell he was identified with that over the door. It showed. It plainly stood out. And today, as we stand here, many people claim to be Christians. Many people are going to church this morning. Many people are claiming to have heard the prophet. But is there an evidence in their life showing that they have seen Jesus Christ? And that's what we're looking for. Not the evidence of a church. Not an evidence of I follow this group of believers. But we're looking for the evidence that the life that Jesus said would live through a people today would come back through. Amen. And just to, I know this may sound like I'm reading some things, but I just want the younger people even to hear this again as we read it. And just so it creates a picture of what was expected then. And as he ties it in with today. He says, what a beautiful picture. See, justice had been met and the requirement of God's holy justice had been met. And God said, I'll require your life. And when the life had sinned, then an innocent substitute took its place. It was a blood beast, not an apple or a peach. That ought to absolutely make serpent seed so plain to everybody that it was blood. And this blood, which could not come out of a fruit, but come out of an innocent substitute, and the life had gone out into its place, and the blood was a symbol. And the beast had died, and the blood was gone, and the worshiper applying the blood over himself showed that he was identified in redemption because he identified himself with the sacrifice and connected himself to the sacrifice. The blood stood for the token. So at this time, God was requiring a literal lamb. They killed the lamb and they took natural blood and put it up on the door. And each one of us that stand here tonight, we know, and it's been explained to us time and time again, how guilty we were. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We needed a substitute. We needed someone to pay the atonement for us. But oh my, how God has done that. And how we can see, but that took place on Calvary. And before that, it took place in God's mind. But we see that God paid the price. Jesus was our substitute. That blood was spilled. And there that blood is over us today. But it's only over us if we're truly born again. And our token today is the Holy Ghost shining forth through our life. As he goes on to point out here. In the message, this is the token also preached in 1964, February 8th. As he begins to say here, but I want you to catch that you had to be identified with your sacrifice. You had to be. And he goes here, he says, this is on page 3 in the token, February 64, and it's down about, we'll start paragraph. This was going to separate and make the difference between those who were going out of Egypt and those who were going to stay in Egypt and perish with Egypt. It made the difference. Strange how God always works through signs, signals, tokens, and so forth. He has always done it. That's his way of doing anything. He never does it outside of that. God never makes a move until he does it that way. And the way God starts, that's the way God finishes. He's infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He needs nobody's help. He doesn't need our interpretation, as I said last night. He doesn't need us to interpret the word and say what it means. He speaks what it says it'll do. And that's the interpretation. Nobody has to interpret it. When God says, let it be, that's his interpretation of it. And we might say the days of miracles has passed and there's no such thing as baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the man who believes that God speaks to him, and that's the interpretation, they've got it. They know they have it because God gives his own interpretation to his word. And that's what he's requiring. That's what he was requiring that night to separate the believers from the unbelievers. The believer and the worshiper was identified with he sacrificed. And he must apply the blood. It wasn't to take and kill the lamb and set the blood out there somewhere or keep it in a charger or take it down to the neighbors. He had to apply the blood. And how this word has to be applied. It ain't just agreeing with it and pulling it in and saying, oh, that sounds good, and I believe Brother Branham was the prophet. I believe this word was God speaking to us. But the word that we're hearing has to be applied in our lives. Amen. It's got to bring forth a reality and a vindication out of each one of our lives. As he used the little example here, the days of miracles is past. That was one word. But we've got to bring it down into our life and let it become a true reality that every word's every word. If it's from a woman cutting her hair, Brother Branham used that a lot. That's one word. We've got to see it that way. From a husband loving his wife. If I don't love my wife as Christ has loved the church, I'm one word short and this is not applied to my life. And that's the importance we must begin to see is every word. If I'm a wife and I can't come under obedience to my husband, it's not applied in my life. It's not applied exactly the way God said to apply it. And without a true application of it, it'll never bring forth what God said it would in my life. Every word must be met, vindicated, and lived out through each one of us. And how has God showed us in Egypt? It was a type. How that blood was applied, they followed the instructions 100%. They done everything he said to do, and God passed by them that night, and they were spared. They didn't perish. And how God has made a provision for his little bride in this day. But it's got to be line upon line and word upon word, and you can't leave nothing out. You can't take a word here and leave a word there. We've got to take the whole thing and bring it into our lives and let it be lived and vindicated. Not just set around it and say, oh, it's good, but there's nothing applied to me. There's nothing showing forth that God is on the inside living it back out through me. Amen. It's, you know, oftentimes we see it. So many people think it's just belonging to a certain church. I belong to this church. I know I'm saved. That's a lie. That doesn't go nowhere in God's word. It's not what God said. And how they think, oh, we belong to this denomination. This is it. They're right. That's wrong. Go back to God's word and look and see what he said. Amen. He says, separate the believer from the worshiper. He had to apply the blood. And that's the way it is tonight. We could come and sympathize with everything that God does. That isn't what he requires. You've got to apply it. And it's not sufficient until you apply it. The blood must be applied. And that shows you're identified. The worshiper laid his hand upon the lamb and killed it and identified himself with the sacrifice. The same thing we do tonight is lay our hand upon the sacrifice and identify ourselves with him. And he is the word. We have to be identified only through Christ is when we're identified by the word. Because he is the word, always has been. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So much word is allotted to each generation. And God sends someone in there and identifies that word by his interpretation of himself. Creeds and things has always had the church in such turmoil. And everybody said, well, it's this is the way, and this is the way, and this is what you must do. But God comes in, steps on the scene, and makes it what he said come to pass. And that's the interpretation. And oh, my saints, we live in a day where oftentimes we think creeds are got to be a certain church or a dogma. But in our own mind, we can create a creed to ourselves. And how we must be careful to never draw an opinion about the word and think what I think's good enough. When maybe God's word said it exactly how it should be, but I just want to, it's okay if I do this, and I'm justifying it in my own mind why I can do this certain thing or why I can go do this place or there or whatever. But God's word's cut and dried, and there's always a clear-cut decision in God's word. And how we must humble ourselves down and take God's word just as he said it. And get in the spirit and pray and ask God to reveal himself to us. Not just, oh, I know the message and I know what the Bible said. I know. But go to God in prayer and in the spirit. Let the anointing come down on you and reveal to you exactly what God's trying to show us in this hour. It's so easy just to hear the word and say, yep, I know that. Amen. I agree with that. Or I don't disagree. And we don't give God a chance to open up our hearts and reveal it to us because we know so much. We know we've heard that. I heard that. I heard everything the preacher said. I know exactly what he's talking about when he read that. But we haven't truly give God maybe an opportunity to come and truly reveal to us. We didn't get him in the right channel. Our attitude blocked him. We stopped him right at the mind. As soon as we heard it, we sealed it off. I don't know about that. But we've got to come open before God. God's word means exactly what he says. And we must come in humility and say, Lord, reveal to me what you're talking about. But oh my, we've heard a lot. And we've heard so much of the word that sometimes it just becomes, we just hear the preacher, the voice just keeps droning on and droning on. He's just reading quotes again. He's just talking again. There's a reason we gather here. Through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls shall be saved. And God had a reason for doing it this way. And why he did, we don't know. But God said it was going to be like this. And this is the way of salvation for us today. To come and to hear the word, to become the word. That we would become exactly what he wants us to be. Amen. We must obey the word. We can't take and choose what we want of it. It must be the full word. Amen. It's got to be in our lives. As he says here, he says many creeds and this way and what you must do. But God comes in, steps on the scene, and makes it come to pass. That's the interpretation. Needs nobody to tell, not a sinful man or organization or great big denomination or anything else to interpret the word. Some bishop, archbishop, pope or something. That isn't it. God does his own interpreting when he's promised he does it. And as many times when he said, let there be light, and there was light, that's the interpretation. It don't need anymore. Anything else try to interpret it, God interprets it himself. The blood being applied, an identified worshiper identified himself with the blood by applying it in his own house over the door where he could not go in or come out without it being recognized by the blood. A very perfect type of today of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood was a token of identification, and Christ is the token of identification to the believer today. And there's no way that Jesus Christ can sit on the throne of your heart and there not be an identification bore every day. Coming and going, it's always there, always living, always manifesting, expressing forth the word. You hear the word. Yes, maybe you fall over here, there's a short place. But watch the word come, and you watch the heart. Watch the receptiveness of the heart to the word, and you watch that body change. But if the word comes forth and we sit there and our Holy Spirit, our mind, we've got a different avenue, a different way of thinking about it. We're going to go over this way. We think it's okay. You watch the Holy Spirit. That'll never bring a vindication that'll match what was in the word. It'll go somewhere else. But God's word, he's his own interpreter. What he said it would do in a human life, it'll bring this body under subjection to every word of Jesus Christ. You won't see women wearing split skirts and tight tops and jeans and pockets and all these things. You won't see men out running to the bar drinking every night and carrying on and going over here to race car events and ball games. You won't see those things. Jesus Christ on the inside, they have a different outlook on life. They're not of this world. They're pilgrims and strangers passing through. And the identification of that will be visible. Not something they got to try to tell you they are, but you'll be able to see it shining forth from their life. Every day on the job, men working, you go to work, you don't have to go tell them. The people will be able to watch what you do and how you do things and know there's something different about you. They can see a strength coming from you. They can see it, the happiness, the peace that you truly have bubbling forth from you. They can feel it. Amen. Brother Branham showed us many times how we create an atmosphere around us. And how that atmosphere, we ought to make sure that the atmosphere we're creating is one of the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Not like an old goat that somebody's, you're always cantankerous and complaining or whining and can't, there's no joy in your life. But God's sweetness of the Holy Spirit ought to be in there. We've all got things that go wrong with us and we get ailments and these things. But oh my, how we ought to be, our mind should be more centered to maybe I got this ailment so that God can truly heal me of this thing. Not waller in our self-pity of, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. But look to God. Lord, why is this situation happening in my life? Is there something here, Lord, you need me to do? Something you're wanting to show me, Lord? Maybe Brother Branham used the little lady in the wheelchair. Kind of got off my message. But the little lady in the wheelchair, she sat there. And oh my, she was as content as she could be. And God never did take her out of that wheelchair, I don't believe. I think it was it Sister Hattie Wright's sister, I think. But look at the joy she had. She always expressed her happiness. And I want you to think about that. There's many times stuff happens that we go through that's trying our faith, trying our life. But is our life expressing Jesus Christ through those hard, stormy trials of life? Or does my life fall apart and it shows I have no peace and I have no joy? I don't have nothing to hold me. I don't have an anchor in there that's really holding me solid to the word. My saints, we've got a lot to be responsible for. And in ourselves, we can't do any of it. But Jesus Christ can do all things. And he is on the inside. He will bring this body under subjection. He will bring the word back to our mind. Our lives will be pleasing to him in every aspect. But the token must be applied. Just as it was then, that token has to be applied today. Amen. Let me see here. Here on page 11 in the token preached in 63. Amen. This is on page 11 and about paragraph 74. And this is the evening time age that we live in. This is the evening time for the church. This is the evening time for me. The evening time of my message. I'm dying and I'm going. I'm moving out in this evening time of the gospel. We've come up through justification and so forth. But this is the time that the token has to be applied. I told you last Sunday I had something I wanted to talk to you about, and this is it. This is the time when you just can't play with it. It's got to be done. If it's ever going to be done, it's got to be done now, because we can see that the wrath is about ready to pass through the land, and everything from under that token will perish, and the blood identifies, you see. And we can truly see we're at that time. Amen. We see it all around us. We see it taking place. And now, as he goes on here to explain, he says, "For the animal life could not come back upon that human being. When the blood was shed, the life went out, of course, because it was a unit. And when the life's blood was gone from it, the life being different from the blood is the chemistry of the life, but the life is something different from the blood. But the life is in the blood, and the animal life could not come back upon that worshiper when he shed his blood of the lamb. He had to apply the chemistry because that was the life had gone out and could not come back. So they used a chemistry. They didn't do away with their sins. It didn't do away with their desires. It didn't do away with anything. It was just a token, and God saw it as an atonement. And their sins were covered for another year from that time forth, once they had a sacrifice, when they were sacrificing the lamb for their sins. Just think of it here as he goes on. He says, because it could not come back upon a human being, because the animal life doesn't have a soul. The animal doesn't know what he is naked. He doesn't realize sin. He knows none. Therefore, a living being. It's a living being, but not a living soul. Therefore, that animal life could not come back upon a human life because it didn't have a soul in the life. And there is a life, a blood, a life, and a soul. And in the life, the soul is the nature of life. Therefore, it had no certain nature. It was an animal, and therefore the blood stood for a token that the life had been given. But in this glorious place, under this covenant, there's a difference between the blood and the life. The token is the believer today is the Holy Ghost, not a blood chemistry, but it's the Holy Spirit of God, and that token, that is the token God requires of the church today. God must see this token, and he must see it on every one of us. And I've cut a lot of places out. This is very short and very, there's so much in here. But how we need to go back and start to pay attention to the instructions that was given to us of what the true baptism of the Holy Ghost would do in our lives and what that token really consisted of. And as our brother, as our pastor has been bringing the word and back and back and back and forth to us, are we truly weighing ourselves and checking up and saying, Lord, I'm looking for this token today. Just like they in Israel, they were looking for that natural token of the blood, the fresh blood painted over the doorpost. But today we're looking for that token upon the door of our heart that shows that my life is vindicating, carrying forth this word back out just exactly the way God said it would come. As he says here, and this is the way Brother Brandon put it, and something very familiar in the future home, paragraph 195. He says, what are we talking? The evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the word is clear and understand it? Watch it vindicate itself. You say, I see it do this and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way. But it's got to be the entire word to be the bride. You have to be part of him. He is the word, and the part of him is it. The words that's promised for this day when he calls his bride, be a part of that. You get it? Don't lose that now. And how we see this word, it must truly become a part of us. We must really become to a place to where our lives is a true expression of this word. But are we like so many others, as we look throughout the land and we see the coldness creeping in, people don't care anymore. They've lost their desire. They've lost their zeal for God, as our brothers just mentioned it not too long ago. And how are we letting anything of this world creep in on us? Do I have a true desire? Is there a zeal burning in my heart that this word be manifested and vindicated? Or does something in the world still mean enough to me that I want to keep that rather than this word? I would give one little inch over here to sacrifice on something that God has said in his word. We've used it so often, but a woman, supposed to be under submission, and this is one word. You can take 100 words. I'm just using this because it's something that we've heard, and it's in our minds. But a woman should be under subjection to her husband, just as the man should be under subjection to Christ. The word, one simple scripture. And I wonder, if I'm a woman and I just want to keep my strong will and I will not bow down and honor and reverence my husband the way that I truly should, then I know that token is not applied in my life. Something's lacking. It's not there. The word, God interprets his own word. If it was there, it would bring this body under subjection. We can apply that to anywhere, just like a woman with bobbed hair. If her hair, Brother Branham said it time and time again, how can you have the Holy Ghost and sit there, say you've got the Holy Ghost and cut your hair? How can you say you've got the Holy Ghost and go out here and drink and run around and carouse with women? How can you do these things? You can't, because God said it was a Holy Spirit. And oh my, if we would take exactly the way God said his word, how much more beneficial it would be in our lives and bring things to pass. Amen. It's something we've got to check up, saints. And the reason I say that is, let's not wait till the last moment of time and then try to figure out, Lord, I think I might have been short on that. But oh my, as he says here this is in the message, What Shall We Do With Jesus Called Christ, January 26, 1964. And he's talking about the Pharisees. He says, all of them Pharisees could have stood up. We're of God. We have the laws. We have this. And there stood the word itself. And how we can say, I'm a message believer. I go to church. I believe that Brother Branham was a prophet. We can say all of these things, but the word's still laying here. That's identifying us every day of what we truly are. And this is what's telling the true story. This is what we're going to walk up against on the day of judgment. When he comes for looking for that little, to take that little bride home, everything he said that little bride would be, she's going to have to be then, not after the fact. Amen. And he says, all the Pharisees could have stood up and said, we're of God, we have the laws, we have this. There stood the word itself. Away with it, crucified it, don't identify itself with what we believe. But it identified itself with the word. Those who had eyes to see saw it, and those who were blinded did not see it. Neither will they do it today. They're done, sealed themselves off. Let's see, he says, some say, I believe so much of it, Brother Branham. I believe the Bible. I sympathize with the Bible. I'm a Bible sympathizer. I believe so and so. I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I just can't believe all of it because my denomination says it's not so. Then what kind of interpreter do you got? The same kind that Eve had, the devil. He tried to interpret the word to Eve. And he said, oh, this is right and that's right. Surely it's right. What God says, it's right. I don't care how much it seems to others. When God said it's going to happen, it's got to be that way. Would you use Eve's interpreter, oh sinful person? How could you do that? See, they've got Eve's interpreter. The evidence, as I said the other day, we try to place evidence of Luther said, believe and walk out. The devil believes too. Wesley said, shout and you got it. But he found out that didn't. Pentecost said, speak in tongues and you got it, and they didn't. Christian Science said, love and you got the fruit of the Spirit. They didn't. They deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. What is the evidence of it? When the Spirit that's in you can punctuate every promise with an amen, and God will confirm it. That's exactly the way it was with Jesus Christ. They had had more fruits of the Spirit. They had had all kinds of evidences. And you can't pin any evidence down to anything but God himself manifesting his word. That's the only true evidence that there is that you're a Christian. And how we're looking to make sure that that evidence is evident in our life. And how we search daily, and how we ought to be, even now, we should be seeking more so. As the word comes, and as God lays something upon our pastor's heart, as we come here, and our pastor's our shepherd, and he's feeding us what God lays upon his heart, how we truly should weigh with carefulness the things that God brings back to us. Amen. And as it comes, how we should truly lay open before God and say, Lord, don't let me draw my own conclusion. Lord, don't let me get hard or form an opinion over here. But Lord, let me lay in the presence of your word, Lord, and show me. Give me eyes to see what's in the word that I need to see. You know, sometimes God gives us shepherds for a reason. And oftentimes when the word's coming, it's because sometimes the shepherd might have went out ahead of the flock and got a look over the next rocky hill and saw what was down there waiting. And God will give that shepherd will come back and try to show help turn his flock this direction, turn a flock that direction. God knows exactly how to turn you and when to turn you. And you've got to realize that we come here, and yes, we call Brother DeLong our pastor, and he is our pastor here in this building. But Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, and I believe he truly had fivefold ministry that he placed in the church, here, there, wherever. And if you believe you're underneath that, it's not that man leading you, but it's God passing through that man the things that you have need of. Amen. And how we ought to hearken to the voice of the Lord greater in our lives and let God speak to us and be willing to move. But oftentimes we think we know just a little bit more than the pastor does, and we don't want to take heed. But oh my, God, you've got to, as I said, we need a, if it was truly, you could just get rid of the veil here, that you could see that it's not man, but it's God speaking to your heart. Man's just the one that's still up here to rehearse, to read back the words, but it's God that's dealing with your heart. It's God that's on the inside of there pricking your heart or checking your heart saying, I need to tighten up over here. I need to tighten up over there. Is this in the right place? Is that in the right place? But oh my, how we ought to, it ought to be diligent in our hearts as husbands to make sure our home is set in order. If things are lining right up to the word. As a wife, I'm being a housewife. My home is right in order with the way I ought to be running it. There's a sweetness there. My taking care of my children. I'm providing for my husband. Everything's right down the line. All of these words. God, we each one in a go. Some of us are children. Some of us are fathers, wives, husbands, mothers, grandpas, grandmas. It don't matter our age. We each one where we at. We should have a vindication that Jesus Christ is living out through whatever stage of life I'm in. It should vindicate it out. Whatever I'm doing, God is there to prove that in that situation, He is still God. He can do it whatever He wants in any life, mm-hmm. at any time. There's nothing changing. Amen. How we're looking for the saints and how it ought to be on our hearts, but it's losing. People's lost the vision that Jesus Christ is coming again. They forgot that we're going to leave this world. And it's nothing, the word means nothing to them anymore. They're not caring about keeping the instructions God's given us. They're not caring about the word that's come. And how that's where we don't want to make sure we don't fall into that, but to be, always be watchful and mindful. Lord, you could come any day, Lord, and I must be ready. I must be in a position, Lord, of what you said I would be in. And as we go through life and the word comes and I find a short place, is there something that I must hurry to get that thing fixed, get it overcome, make sure it's lining back up with the word, or is it, oh, I'm a son of God, I got time, I'll take care of that some other time. But how it ought to be burning in our heart, Lord, I want that overcome, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to press on higher every time. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. You would. I'll read this. This is in the message, The Identified Masterpiece of God. Preaching it December 12th, 1964. Now for nearly 2,000 years, God has been trying to cut him a master priest bride called a church. That's right. How does God do it? He does it by his never-changing method, the word. God never changes his method. Anybody, you can change, I can change, time changes, the world changes, but God does not change. He's perfect. He doesn't change the way he does anything the first time. He does it every time the same way. He saved a man one time because he repented. That's the way he'll save men again. He healed one man because he had faith. He will heal the next one the same basis. He never changes his ways because, see, he's sovereign, he's eternal, he's infinite, omnipresent, omniscient. He's God. Therefore, he don't have to ask anybody for wisdom. He don't have to wait till he learns more. He don't need a new degree. He's perfect in whatever degree. Whatever thing he makes first, his first decision remains the same forever. It can never be changed. Oh, how glad I am. And when he made his first masterpiece, he put him behind the word. And when he made his second masterpiece, he was the word. He was, and not behind the word, but he was the word. God never changes his plan. That's exactly what he started off to do in his first church with the word. And God, in the word in the beginning, he was independent from all other. Now, I don't mean to say this to be different, but God is a segregationist. You know that? You talk about integration. God's a segregationist. He certainly does. He separates his people from the world. He separates Israel from his nation. He is trying to separate his church from the world, but the church wants to go on with the world. But his people is still segregated and segregated to him. Who is he? The Word. And oh my, how we don't, the Word has come time and time again to show us, don't be fooled. God's not mocked. And when you look out there and you see these people following after the world, they're following this and going and doing the things that they're doing. God, the Holy Spirit's not in there. There's no evidence that a token's been applied in their life. And how that's, we oftentimes we try to make excuses for people, but God's Word's cut and dry. If a token was on there, it would bring this body under subjection to the word. But when you can present the word and the word comes and that, oh, there's no such thing as a changing of the soul. There's no such thing as a woman having to be submissive to her husband. I don't have to be like that. I don't have to do this. But when you watch the spirit and raise up, there's nothing on display. And oh my, oftentimes we like to point it out and to, you know, it's often been made big things. Well, that's, it's over here. He, she committed adultery. But remember, any word, one word short, and it throws us into the same boat of a drunkard, an adulteress, unbelief. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Remember the things that we've been taught, saints. Remember God's word come for a reason to show us where we're standing. As he says here, he says, his church wants to go on with the world, but his people is still segregated to him. Who is he? He's the word. How can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit wrote the word, and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and deny the word? How can the Holy Spirit be in you and deny its own word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every word of God's promises with an amen, there's something wrong. And how we ought to be looking into our lives to make sure that every day that word is punctuating everything with an amen. I'll stop there. But, oh, saints, it's the time to make sure. The token was required then, and they met it with that natural blood of the Lamb. But today the life is required. And we must make sure that the instructions that's giving us, we're following it to the letter. We must. It's got to come down. I can't seem to stress it enough that we must take heed to every word of God and make sure that it's lining up 100%. God's got to think stuff he's wanting to do in that little bride's heart. We don't know, but we must. Are we truly under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Can we take all of the word, the many messages that have been brought, and can we weigh in and truly see? And I say, amen, check, I see leadership in my life. Check, I see Christ as the mystery of God revealed. Check, I see Paul a prisoner, as our brother mentioned. As you can see all of these things, can I truly see that, or do I, I can't put a check mark on that one, and I can't put a check mark on that, and I can't down there, but I've still got the token. Lord, help us to make sure that every word is lining up 100%. It must be. We can't go on. Oftentimes we see it, and we can't just think it'll be all right. We must make sure. Now is the time to be certain that Jesus Christ is ruling and setting on the throne of our heart, and that token is truly applied with the evidence bearing forth that it's vindicating and manifesting itself back through our bodies. I pray it'll mean something to us, saints. I pray it's helping us every day as we gather here. I'm not a great minister. I just do my part. But God's word is truth, and it's inspired. And how we need to take him at his word, exactly what he said. And take it. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to just think about it a different way. But take it exactly the way he said and apply it to our lives. And it will do the work that he said it would do in our hearts. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. I pray that it'll keep our hearts stirred, keep us pressing, keep us reaching. There's higher heights for us, saints. There's many things that God could do in our hearts and in our lives if our hearts condemn us not. And how we ought to truly cry out to God and ask him every day, Lord, am I sure? But you know, sometimes we don't think about it till we get back to church on Sunday. We don't think much about it throughout the week. It just doesn't really ever get on my mind or my heart. But Lord, help me to be exactly what you want me to be. Amen. Anyone got a chorus on your heart? Something you'd like to sing? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus. And we'll ask Brother Philip to come dismiss us. Amen.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. From earth to
Lord for his word. Amen. And you know, you may not think about it too much when you're younger, but you get older, you begin to think more about having that life on display. You might think now you got a long time, and not necessarily. Amen. But as we go through life, we need to realize that circumstances and situations may occur in our lives each day, whether we're young or whether we're old, maybe on a job or maybe walking down the street, driving down the highway, or in a restaurant, or, you know, a lot of things happen on the job. Some of you, I'll be glad you don't work. Amen. But a lot of circumstances occur on the job where then you can display the life of Jesus Christ. And the thing of it is, if we can't see a change in our lives, if we don't see a change and we say that we've been born again, we say we're following Christ, but still every day we're living the same life we always did, doing the same things that we always did. Amen. You haven't been born again. Amen. We haven't been born again if we don't see any change in our lives. Amen. And you want to know whether you're living worldly or not? Well, look at the world. See how they live. Are you doing the same things the world does? Going to the same places, looking at the same things, doing, walking and talking and everything the same as the world? That's the world. You want to know whether we live in worldly or not? Look at the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his word.
Amen. Amen.
That's good. Amen. Enjoy the word, because I'm getting older and I realize that my day be any day. Amen. And I, by the grace of God, I want to live every day the way he wants me to live.
Amen.
I want my life to be a light to those that I work with, those that I meet on the street, those that I may come in contact. I want them to see Christ in me. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful and thankful for your word today, Lord, and we pray, dear God, that like our brother said, they can just say one word, Lord, that'll help somebody along the way. And we pray today, Father, that there's been some word spoken today, Lord, by our precious brother, Lord, that'll just stir our hearts to a closer walk with you, Lord, that, my God, it'll cause us to realize, Lord, we need a closer walk with you, Lord, and the time is running out, Lord, and my God, I pray, Father, that you just help us, Lord, each and every one, to draw closer to you, Lord. Those that I claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, dear God, and it causes us to draw closer to you, have a greater desire to walk pleasing in your sight, Lord. And we pray, Father, for those, Lord, that may not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, have not had that soul change, Lord, and they still live and still act and still talk and are still the same person that they was, Lord. I pray, dear God, that something has been said today, Lord, that will cause them to realize the need, the necessity, Lord, of having that Spirit, amen, of Christ dwelling within them, Lord, that will cause them, Lord, to, my God, cry out, Lord, and pray and seek your face, Lord. We pray now that you dismiss us now from this building, but not from your presence. Go with us throughout this day, Lord, and may our lives be a light and a lamp and unto the world today. And we pray that you touch those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, and they might be able to be back with us and worship, Lord. And we just pray now that you just help us each and every one, my God, to walk pleasing in your sight the remainder of this day. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 just sing that little chorus one more time. To be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To be like Him. All through.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.